The Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. MyBookie is doing everything they can to help DGens only cash big, including a 50% deposit match on your first deposit. That's MyBookie.ag. Promo code SGP to get a 50% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a new daily fantasy sports app built specifically for player props. Download the app in the App Store and use promo code SGP for an instant deposit match up to $50. That's thrivefantasy.com, promo code SGP. Sign up and prop up today. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay per head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free of our aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. Welcome everyone to the Die Hard Eagles podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my fellow diehards, Rob and Justin. We're here talking Eagles. Coming off the bye, the Eagles currently sit in first place atop the NFC East, 3-4-1. We're starting to get some guys back, getting healthy. Got a rematch against the New York Giants after beating them earlier in the season, 22-21. Thanks to an amazing throw by future Hall of Famer, possibly, definitely franchise quarterback Carson Wentz. One of the guys we're getting back, Alshon Jeffrey. Now, no one on this podcast is an Alshon Jeffrey fan, at least anymore. We know the Eagles won't just bench him, or maybe they'll fake an injury. I don't know. It's interesting to see what they end up with doing with Alshon Jeffrey, because in his absence, we've gotten Travis Fulgham. He's looked dominant. Rob, what do you think the Eagles do with Alshon come Sunday?
Can I say who cares? No, in all seriousness, this worries me, because I fear that Doug is going to be too loyal to Alshon because he's a veteran, and it's just going to stunt the development of our emerging young receivers. I mean, what's he really adding at this point? We already have deep threats in Rager and Hightower. He's not a deep threat, so he's not bringing anything to the table there. And we have Fulgham on the outside, who's emerged as well. You know, he's basically a similar type receiver to Alshon. Yeah. So, and you have Ward in the slot. You know, you're not going to put Jeffrey in the slot. He's not fast enough. He's not shifty. So, at best, I think he's a depth guy, quite honestly. If they put him back in the starting lineup to the detriment of someone like Fulgham, it's not good for the development of the team, and it's not good for this team long term. So what I want to see is depth at best. You know, quite honestly, I don't even want to see him on the field. But if he has to be on the field for some depth.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically, Fulgham is playing his role. So I don't know how he gets on the field, because if you're taking Fulgham off the field at any point in the game for Alshon Jeffrey, it's insane. I think maybe they'll get him involved in some of their four receiver or five receiver sets, maybe use him close to the goal line or just to get some possession stuff going. Justin, if you had to guess, how many catches do you think Alshon Jeffrey gets come Sunday against the Giants? If I set the line at 1.5 catches, are you going over or under?
You know what? I would probably say over. I don't disagree with what Rob said at all. I think the chemistry is key, and you can sit him. I wouldn't mind that at all. I think, though, the Eagles are going to try and play him as much as possible. Just looking at his cap hit next year, it's $18 million. I think Howie's going to want to try and move him, as he's been trying to do for the last two seasons, it sounds like, because I don't know how much use he's going to be for us down the road. So I think they're going to try and rotate him in as much as possible if they can. We'd like the GM to stay out of it, but I could see that as a possibility. So I would say he gets in for a few plays, at least a dozen would be my guess, and maybe gets a couple catches here or there. I mean, the only good thing about Alshon now playing is we do have a little bit of depth at receiver, but we kind of had that for most of the season, as you saw guys coming in and out. With Fulgham, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I wouldn't be surprised if they try to force him in a little bit more. We'll see.
Yeah, it does seem like they're going to squeeze him in. And if you know, if Lane Johnson's ready to go, he's going to play right tackle. And I do think they will start Jason Peters at left tackle, assuming he's able to play and healthy, because he just keeps getting nicked up. The thing is, even if they start Lane and Jason Peters, Mailata will probably be in there at some point, just because Lane can't stay on the field. Neither can Jason Peters. But on the positive injury news, Miles Sanders getting him back. It looks like Goddard played a little bit in that Dallas game. Didn't have a huge role. Did have one catch for 15 yards. But looking ahead to the second half of the season, who's going to have a bigger impact on this offense? I think it's easy to say Miles Sanders, because he's probably maybe, or I don't know, Miles Sanders, you could make a case, is better at his position, but certainly the tight end seems to be a favorite of the Eagles offense and of Wentz. Rob, who do you think is going to have a bigger second half?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Sean, but I still think it's Miles Sanders. You know, he's really our only dynamic runner, and he's maybe our best playmaker in terms of when he gets the ball in his hands. You know, I might have earlier in the year said Goddard, but I actually think the emergence of Fulgham takes a little of that urgency off Goddard to perform. So because of that, and because of Fulgham's emergence, I'm going to stick with Miles Sanders. But don't get me wrong, you know, Goddard is still going to be important going forward.
Yeah, I see what you mean there. I mean, Fulgham is kind of his go-to guy, his safety blanket, and Ertz and Goddard have had that role previously coming in. Justin, what do you, one guy, Goddard or Sanders, who ends up having a bigger second half of the season?
Just thinking about this, I mean, Sanders definitely has a higher ceiling. If he could go off, I think it would be great. But I think just looking at it and the fact that Sanders has been banged up this season quite a bit, Goddard as well, right, with the ankle injury. I'm going to go with Goddard, and mainly due to Ertz. Ertz just hasn't been 100% the past couple seasons now. You know, he's been in and out. So I think Goddard potentially is going to have the bigger season. We'll see, though. Hopefully Sanders can stay healthy. And really, like I said, if he can stay healthy and can go off, I think his ceiling's a lot higher. But
yeah, I mean,
I think Goddard would be where I put my money, though.
He's really the only guy we've seen truly explosive plays from this season. Although some of what Fulgham does certainly gives them a spark. But those 80, he's had two of those like 80 yard or 75 yard runs that are just game changers. And he's kind of turned into a home run hitter, which is, we haven't really had one of those guys like that in the running back position for a while. I think Goddard is going to be key into just giving their offense a little bit of flow. But I'm going to say Sanders as well, just because their running game has just been so non-existent. I mean, Boston Scott's done a little bit, but Miles, you know, Corey Clement's just taken up a space there. They haven't gotten anything really from these other guys. So Miles Sanders, he was the workhorse coming in, and he just hasn't been out there. So I think having some sort of running game sets up the play action, takes a little pressure off of Carson Wentz, and certainly helps smooth things over. But big picture, second half of the season, 3-4-1, Rob, we got 8 games left, coming off a bye, probably the healthiest we've been for the majority of the season. What do we need to see in the second half of the season? I mean, obviously it seems like the division within reach, but what do we need to see overall to feel good about this Eagles team?
I think we just need to see some consistency. I mean, we've had flashes, especially on offense, where we've looked good, where Carson's looked good, but there's just been quarters that go by and halves that go by where the team just looks awful. So, you know, what I need to see first and foremost from Carson is stopping these turnovers. I mean, they're not sustainable. You can't be a starting quarterback in the league making the turnovers like he is. So, and yeah, you know, that's a two phase issue in my mind. Obviously a lot of it falls on Carson. He's getting his line a little healthy, which should help him. I think they also activated Samalu on the 21-day window to return as well. But it's also coaching. You know, there needs to be a lot of heat on Press Taylor, because either Carson's just blatantly not listening, or he's not getting the coaching that he needs. So both of them are troubling. So I think there needs to be more consistent coaching on offense. And then, you know, Wentz needs to play better. And I think the rest of the offense will start to come together from there. You know, the defense is never going to be spectacular in my mind, but we need the offense to drive this team. And the defense is kind of just, it'll be what it is. Hopefully we pick up a turnover here and there on defense.
Yeah. Defense is, has picked it up a little bit as of late. They're second in the league in sacks, averaging 3.5 a game. Brandon Graham having a good season, 7 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. He's on pace for a Pro Bowl season. So and they're getting a little bit of the turnovers. I mean, that was a big thing in that Dallas game. And I think will be a huge thing coming into this Giants game. Obviously the turnovers help a, because neutralize the offensive turnovers that we keep generating, but B just put, you know, makes it so much easier on the offense. I mean, you could talk turnovers all day, and it, we even got a little hypothetical here over under coming up, but yeah, I think you nailed a bunch of good stuff there. Consistency on the offensive side of the ball. And you know, the defense, you're right. It kind of is what it is. They have some moments where they're able to show up, but I think the red zone defense could get a little bit better. That's usually kind of a staple. We'll see how things go. And maybe it's just, you know, when fans were there, they were jacked up at home, and that's really what carried the red zone defense. Justin, what do you got to see in the second half of the Eagles 2020 season?
Yeah. First off, I mean, you guys said it better, play by Carson's number one, first and foremost, because I mean, he just drives the team, and if he could get things going, that helps everybody all around, right? Gets us points, takes pressure off the defense and so on. But the other big thing I had that was, that I'm a little concerned about second half of the season is just better secondary play in the defense. And that would be in the form of turnovers. We really haven't seen much of that. And it would be nice if we could do that. We really haven't played any good quarterbacks other than Ben and Joe Burrow, if you want to put him in that mix. But
wow, not even giving Lamar Jackson a good quarterback rating. Well,
no, he's not a great passer, so I'm not looking at him as being all that great. Yes, he can scramble, but that's more of a, you know, a defensive line issue, in my opinion. But other than that, you know, NFC East doesn't really have a whole bunch of great quarterbacks other than Carson. I'll put him in the mix.
Yeah, but there you go. Come on.
Defensive secondary would be something I'll be looking at second half of the season.
Well, let's get to it. They're 3-4-1 right now. The rest of their schedule is at Giants, at Browns, Seahawks at home. So at least that's at home, at Green Bay. They've won in Green Bay, previously won there last year. Saints at home, which again, Saints is going to be tough, but at least you're playing them at home and it's in mid December. So that's always tough for a dome team. Then at Arizona, that Arizona team looking pretty good, but we close it out with at Cowboys, who, well, I guess Garrett Gilbert looks a little bit better. Maybe they, you know, that it's really going to come down to whether or not they win the division these last two games at Dallas, and then possibly for the division. Thankfully they're at home against the Washington football team. 8 games remaining. I'm going to be the optimist here. I'm going to say they will finish the year 8-7-1. Winning the NFC East. Rob, you seem to be emerging as the pessimist of the group. 3-4-1. What do you have them going the rest of the 8 games?
You know, Sean, I'm actually with you. I had 8-7-1. Okay. I think they're getting healthy at the right time. And I'll even tell you how I broke it down. I actually have them beating the Giants, beating the Browns. And then, you know, I think they have a tough 4-game stretch coming in there with the Seahawks, Packers, Saints, and Cardinals. I think they win one of those three.
Yeah.
I think they beat the Packers if I'm going out on a limb. And then I think they beat Cowboys and Washington to end the season. But it's possible they could lose those 4 in a row. I hope not. In that case, they'd be 7-8-1, but I'm going to say 8-7-1 like you.
Yeah. I was thinking I was even on the high side at 5-3, but if you break it down like that, if they win their division games, which they should be able to, and then just win 2 of the remaining 5, that puts them at 5-3 and probably realistic. But Justin, what are you, can they get to 9 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins and 8-0 run?
I don't know about that. But
someone has to be the crazy guy. So
I threw down 9-6-1.
Okay.
As an Eagles fan, I wanted to give them the 9. I kept going back and forth, but, same with Rob. Giants with the win. And then, after that, the Browns, I actually think is going to be a huge game for them moving forward, just to see if they can build that momentum outside of the division. So I gave them the win with the Browns. Seahawks, I threw an L in there, but I think we could actually pull it off.
Seahawks defense looks horrible.
Yeah, and it does. It is horrible.
Yeah, and I could see a situation similar to that Bills game.
They're on,
although Seattle has owned us. I don't think Doug's beat the Seattle.
Russell Wilson's going to pick us apart. We're going to have to watch DK Metcalf torch us, who could have taken instead of Whiteside.
We'll see.
Justin, you remember we went and saw an Eagles game. I think it was Carson's rookie year.
I think in
Seattle. Yeah. And they were in that game early. Oh, this was like right before Nelson Aguilar had his mental breakdown. He lined up.
Yes.
He lined up like illegal procedure, called back a touchdown. There was also a great tight end screen that got us down to the 2 yard line. And I was yelling right in the Seahawks face and Seahawks fans face. And then just, it got called back on penalty and felt like a total asshole.
I remember that,
but it was funny, 'cause it's a fun place to watch a game, but the fans are almost too polite. They're like, "Hey, hell yeah, it's gonna be fun. I hope both teams play well." It's like, shut the fuck up, pussy.
Yeah, the guys behind us were actually pretty nice. I couldn't complain.
I complained because it didn't feel like a football game. If the guys are guys you're going against are nice to you, what the hell is going on? All right, so you got them 9-6-1. That feels
All right. That Seahawks game, I think, is actually going to be closer than we think. I mean, Seahawks are on record pace to give the most passing yards, so we'll see. But I did throw an L there. I threw an L in Green Bay, especially because we're going to Green Bay. We'll see. I gave him the win against the Saints.
Yeah.
And just based on what I said previous week about Cardinals being the poor man's Ravens, which it might be the other way around now. We'll see. I'm still going to give the Eagles the win against the Cardinals. I think that's a little crazy now in hindsight, but I had to stick to my guns. And then obviously within the division, Cowboys and Washington, I gave them the win.
Well, and that Cardinals game is annoying because I'm assuming fans won't be in the stands, and that would be a great game for a bunch of Eagles fans to show up. 'Cause whenever they play on the West Coast out here, it does feel like a bit of a home game. So that we'll see if how many fans are in or are allowed to come in. 'Cause that could be a nice little secret advantage there. It's really going to come down to Wentz and the turnovers. He's leading the league with 16 turnovers, been an embarrassment in the first 8 games. Let's set the over under or just predict. What do you think? How many is he going to have in this second half? Anything he can do to fix it? I mean, the obvious is just stop trying to play hero ball, but I think he does throw the ball away. Like Rob pointed out or sent that Reddit link that he leads the league at throwaways. And I think some of that was just with his offensive line. So I'm going to, again, lean into optimism. I'm going to say he's only going to have 5 turnovers, which doesn't sound great, but compared to 16 in the first half, 5 turnovers for the remaining season. Rob, give us a number of Wentz turnovers next 8 games.
For the record, Sean, how many fumbles will he have that are recovered as well?
Yeah, I'm fine. Hey, if they recover him, I'm fine with that. I don't care.
All right. Well, I'll give you a number, but it has to be less. And I'll tell you why it has to be less. One, it can't get any worse. It's atrocious. And two, if he continues on that trajectory, quite honestly, in my mind, he should be benched, because at that point, what are we playing for and why is he in the game? So one way or the other, it's going to be less. I'm going to say he's at, what did you said, 16, Sean?
Yeah. I'm going to say he finishes with 21. 21's a lucky number, and it's a blackjack thing. So yeah, give me 21.
I'm going to say 8 in the second half of the season. He finishes at 24. You know, my fear is that he's going to just start getting too conservative. Obviously it's a fine line. He's obviously conscious of that turnover. He keeps saying he's going to let it rip, but at some point it's going to get into his head. So I think 8, it can't be that bad, but it's still not going to be fantastic.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, 8 seems like a really high number, but would be a huge improvement, and just averaging 1 a game, I think that's realistic. And I think it's something we could actually overcome as a team. So if we can get it down to 8, I'm fine with that. Justin, what are you setting the number on Wentz's turnovers?
I put 7 turnovers down. I think he can do less than 1 a game. I couldn't hope for better than that. If he does, I'll be ecstatic. But I don't see him letting off the gas, which is still going to get him those turnovers. But at the same time, I think it's still going to win him games. And if he can do it at a clip of, you know, less than one a game or one a game, I think we could still win a bunch of games with the way that he plays. I'd be happy with that. Honestly, I'd be ecstatic if he could do less than seven. So,
yeah, I mean, the fumbles, I think, is always going to be a little bit part of his game. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost more okay with those to a certain degree. But the interceptions, he had such a low number consistently through his career. I do think that eventually that regresses down to the mean. And
I think, Sean, I think the other thing too is he's just going to continue to build more chemistry with Fulgham, more chemistry with Rhaegar, who's now in the lineup. And you know, you got Goddard coming back, and then it looks like Ertz will be back in a week or two. You know, when he gets those familiar faces back in the lineup as well, I think it's going to help. You're right about the fumbling, but I really think the chemistry is going to be big. And I think now that he's had a bye week, he has time to look things over. And if Sanders is healthy too, it takes a little bit of pressure off of him.
Yeah.
If Doug runs.
Yes.
Yes.
That's if he decides to run the ball.
That's a great point.
And screw Ertz. We don't need him. It's Goddard time or nothing now. Time to move past Ertz. But yeah.
Not to mention the O-line too, right? Getting a little bit healthier
That should be huge. Hopefully they don't just let Jason Peters stand out there and get his ass kicked. All right. Hypothetical question time. If you're in charge and you could make one coaching change right now, who would it be? I'll start this off. It's got to be Press Taylor. I mean, he's the real weak link. I know they got like nine guys in that Eagles offensive brain trust that still can't figure out how to get to 30 points, but I'm going Press Taylor. He seems like the weak link. He's not pushing Carson enough, and Carson clearly regressed to some degree. Rob, are you with me on Press Taylor? I know you have a hair up your ass for Jim Schwartz. What are you doing here?
No, you're right. I'm out on Jim Schwartz, but I've resigned that's not happening till after the season. That's going to be an off season move. So I'm with you on Press Taylor. I think as a parlay to that, there has to be a definitive offensive coordinator. We need to know who's actually in charge there. Who's crafting the plays, who's game planning. I'd like to see someone else, you know, dip their hand into calling some plays too, so Doug can focus on what's going on in the game. I think there's been too many instances in the first half of the season where Doug has made boneheaded decisions, whether it was, you know, punting to win the game or, you know, some of his play calling on, you know, at the goal line or different things. And I just want him to take that step back, have one person in charge, maybe call some plays, maybe not the whole game, but, you know, maybe here and there. So I would like to see that in conjunction with Press Taylor being gone.
All right, little two for one there, Rob. Getting greedy, wanting it all changed. What are you doing, coaching wise, Justin?
I think you hit it on the head, Press Taylor. Simplest move, and probably the best move overall, honestly. If we could get him out of the way, get Carson playing better. I mean, that just automatically, you know, leads to less turnovers. It also means less stress for the defense, greater confidence for Carson. You know, it gets everybody going in the right direction. So I would just say, if you could get Press Taylor out of there, we're gonna win some more games.
Also, what kind of first name is Press? That is that a nickname? Who names their kid Press? I don't know. It doesn't. It's not really doing it for me as far as a first name is concerned.
Moving on. Food.
Wait, you think of food?
Yeah. Like a panini press.
Oh, okay. Come
on, yeah. I was thinking only like, Justin would like in that.
Press Taylor, you're making me hungry over there. I got a ham, cheese, and press. Well, yeah, his name's not panini. I could understand that, but all right, going deep there. Giants game coming up again. So much on the line for the division, but more just our own personal pride. We can't lose to this dog shit Giants team that somehow only beats the Redskins. Daniel Jones 1-16 against, or 1-17 now against every other team, 4-0 against the Washington football team. What is a key matchup that the defense has to win? Or sorry, instead of matchup, let's just do one player that really has to dominate. For me, I'm going to say Alex Singleton. He's been involved in the pass coverage a lot. He was the guy who got the pick six in the 49ers game. So I'm going to go, Alex Singleton. because I think he's going to need a big game against Evan Engram and over the middle. We got lucky that Evan Engram choked and dropped that big pass. But yeah, I'm going Alex Singleton. Rob, who do you see stepping on the defensive side? Who's got to kind of win their battle here?
I'm going to go with Brandon Graham. He's having that good year. And I think he's got to do two things. He's got to get some pressure on Daniel Jones and he's got to contain him. I mean, we learned from Kramer, I think last time we did the podcast for the Giants that Daniel Jones is apparently the fastest human alive. So we just need to keep him contained in because other than that, they don't have a lot going for him.
Yeah, that's a good point. Cause if he can set the edge and again, he's been forcing the fumbles, he's been getting those strip sacks. So if we can get one of those early on Danny Dimes, get them behind the eight ball, rattle his confidence. Justin, who do you got to see make a step up? Who's the defender matching up against the offense that you like this week?
I'm thinking Slay. He's had a lot of good games actually this season, but I think if he can, you know, shut down that first read for Danny, it's going to make him look a little bit more, buy a little bit more time for that defensive line so that they can make some sacks. He's also hopefully going to eliminate, you know, those splash plays, which that would really only be the way that I can see the Giants beating us in some way. So I would go with Slay.
Big play Slay. It does feel good overall. If you look at this team, cause we have our number one cornerback, a real kind of legit shutdown quarterback. We have Fulgham, a receiver, a stud receiver. We have, you know, some young talent that's kind of coming together on the offensive and defensive side of the line. Like we have some building blocks. Guys are getting healthy. They just got to put it together with some consistency. Let's pick out a matchup on the offensive side of the ball besides Carson. Cause that one's kind of easy to go to. I'll kick it off, kind of alluding to it earlier, but I think Goddard being there in the middle of the field really, really just opens things up. Makes it a little bit easier for the defenders on the outside. And I think he's due to have a big game. Wentz had some early chemistry with him in the season. So I'm going to say Dallas Goedert versus the New York Giants linebackers. Rob, who do you like on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think a key thing in the game, it's less a matchup and more just how it goes, is Lane Johnson. I think if he can stay in there the whole game and play solid, it just goes so far for Wentz's confidence and for the line as a whole. If he's in there for a play or two and he's in and out, I think it just spells trouble for the line and everything else snowballs from there.
Yeah, totally agree. Justin, what are you doing?
All right. So I wanted to go with Miles Sanders. And then I was looking at the numbers because I really didn't want to pick Fulgham because he just seems like an easy choice. But I picked Fulgham. He had arguably, believe it or not, his worst game so far against the Giants with only 5 catches and 73 yards, no touchdowns. But then I was looking at Giants stats and, you know, teams have 15 passing touchdowns against them. They're averaging over 265 pass yards a game. Compared to giving up less than 100 rushing yards a game. So I felt like I could go with Miles. And just the matchup itself lent itself to saying, you know, Fulgham's going to have what I would like to call a comeback game since this was his worst game so far. And he's going to maybe even have a couple of touchdowns this time. Who knows?
Don't call it a comeback, Travis Fulgham. Yeah, I mean, that's beautiful. His worst game was 5 for 73. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, player of the game right now, if you had to predict a player of the game that's going to have the huge impact, we're going to call it the Eagles' nest. I'm going to go Slay. I think Slay gets a pick. I don't think he has an interception this season. They're scared to throw to him. I think Danny Dimes gets a little cocky, throws one his way, possibly a defensive touchdown. But yeah, I think Darius Slay is the guy that's going to have the MVP performance against the Giants. Rob? Who's your Eagles nest player of the game?
I'm sticking with Brandon Graham on this one. He's going to get some pressure and we know Danny Dimes already has the proclivity to fumbling. So I think Brandon Graham's going to knock one out.
I like it. Yeah. Certainly him getting the strip sack going would be huge in this game. Justin, what are you doing here? Who are you giving your player of the game to that you predict will be in the Eagles nest come Sunday?
Oh, I think this is Carson's breakout game this season. I really do. I'm thinking big things. I'm thinking he's going at over 325 yards, at least 4 touchdowns, no turnovers. I'm seeing Carson 2017 right now. and I'm betting big on this game.
Oh, wow. I love it. Going all in. Now this brings us to the final score predictions. Right now, mybookie.ag has the line Eagles 3.5 point road favorite, which is to me, it's almost a hair high. Cause these games, they always come down to a final field goal at the end or a final play. So some would say maybe you should take the Giants there. Total sitting at 44.5. Interesting little note here. Clay Martin, the ref, and our buddy over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, one of our writers, he's working up some ref trends. The ref Clay Martin, the home team has been 0-7-1 against the spread in all of Clay Martin's games that he's refed in, 3-5 straight up. So it's a nice little nugget. Hopefully we'll get a friendly whistle in MetLife Stadium. I think again, these always end up being a little bit closer than you'd like. I say they pull it off. They cover, it goes over 31-27. Rob, what are you calling in the score wise?
I'm calling it 27-14. I do think we can get a little bit going on offense. Coincidentally, I know Justin just picked Wentz to have a big game. I almost picked Hurts as this could be his week to break a run or throw a touchdown.
Okay.
I think we're going to see
a big game for Hurts at least.
Well, I'm not saying he's coming in and starting, but I do think he's going to break one of these games.
Well, and it would be nice. And they did this last time against the Giants and it worked well when they come out of the gate with the hurry up and they've had that extra week to prepare. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a couple more Hurts plays worked in there or some hurry up at least early in the game or in certain situations, because that seems to help them get in their rhythm offensively. Justin, what do you predict in this game goes? I know you're already calling it big, calling it a landslide for the Eagles in MetLife. What's your final prediction score wise?
Oh, I'm feeling good about this game. 36-16. So I think Eagles landslide. We just take it at them. We get the lead early and then we never look back.
Love it. Goodbye. Adios. Danny Dimes, Carson Wentz, and the Eagles about to go off for the Die Hard Eagles podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green for Rob, for Justin. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.